You're not going to want to miss today's show with Hugh Odom. Listen up. Hugh's going to share how 5G is one of the most exciting technologies of this decade, whether you're an investor or if you're a property owner. Welcome to the Next Level Income Show, where it's our goal to raise your income, your investments, and your life to the next level. I'm your host, Chris Larson. You can get a free copy of our book at nextlevelincome.com. If you click on the book link and put in your address, I'll even send you a copy. On today's show, we have Hugh Odom, founder and president of Vertical Consultants. Hugh is a former AT&T attorney and now consults for the likes of Walmart, McDonald's, Disney, the U.S. Postal Service, and even cities like Atlanta and Charlotte, where we own multifamily properties. Today, Hugh's going to be talking about the rollout of the 5G network and how it's one of the most exciting opportunities of this decade. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on the show today. We were chatting before and we were talking about how I can look up the mountain I live on. I see these 5G towers sitting up there, which is awesome for cell reception. And it's just something I've had a real interest in, is I've kind of seen the full cycle of telecom here change over my few decades on the planet. But for our audience that may not know about you, they may not know about this technology, if you don't mind, give the audience a little bit more information about your background, your history, and how you ended up getting here.
Sure. Well, I'm the president and founder of Vertical Consultants. My background is being a real estate and telecom attorney for over 20 plus years. I was an attorney inside AT&T for almost 11 years. I was worked with them throughout the Western United States in negotiation and structuring of telecom deals for that period of time. And about almost 11 years ago now, we founded Vertical Consultants. And basically what we did, we swapped sides of the table. We start working on behalf of property owners, everybody from individuals to small towns to small businesses, to all the way up to being providing counsel for Walmart, Disney, McDonald's, et cetera, when they are either approached to put on their property in the way of a cell tower lease or something on top of the rooftop, or they have an existing agreement with an AT&T, Verizon, et cetera, and they're being trying to renegotiate those, restructure those to not only get more money out of those deals, but to protect their property, which is your most valuable asset.
Yeah. No, I love it. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize that with your property rights, you know, they go up to a point, but they only go up so high and it changes based upon where they are. I think it's really wild. We just got back from Puerto Rico on spring break, not too long before this recording. And down there, you see like 5G cell towers on a building that's like two stories high. So it's really wild how they're doing that. So maybe before we kind of dive deeper into the 5G technology, talk about in a nutshell, because I know we could probably have multiple episodes just on this, just how the telecom industry has changed over the past couple decades.
Well, we've gone from a situation back 20 plus years ago where the wireless industry was about providing phone service. And people would say, hey, I lost service. I don't have service anymore. I'm out of range. And people, there wasn't enough cell towers. They were building cell towers to provide service. And so that basically got done probably back in the late 2000s, where there are enough cell towers to provide service. But people who use their cell phones, they understand besides air, water, food, you rely upon that thing most of anything for communication. And we have, right, exactly. And so what's going on? We've gone from a situation where you had a cell phone to now you basically have a small computer. And that's a data device. That really the emphasis now isn't to build out to provide coverage, it's to provide data capacity, because we've gone where that we want more and more data, more and more accessibility, more and more ability to use those phones. We go everything from our playing games to texting pictures, watching movies to telehealth and education and other things. So the evolution has been from a phone service to a data service, now to an essential service, which is a utility. You have to have it to keep up on a lot of different levels. So that's kind of the progression that we have right now. And the big thing we work on our behalf is all that stuff on your phone, all those apps, all those things you can do, from controlling your home to your car to everything you might imagine, unless the infrastructure is there, unless the backbone is there. And that's the cell towers and the cell sites all across the United States. And that's what we work to help people negotiating those deals on the side of leasing their land and people using their land to provide that backbone for those services.
Yeah. So I want to get into that here. And one last thing before that. So you had 3G And then is LTE 4G, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then you have 5G. So what is the difference in power or transmission?
The number of Gs. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. basically, the progression, it's the simple way I can, it's two things. It's a lot of things, but two basic things. Capacity, the amount of data, and I kind of like I was telling before, and latency. And what latency is, very simply, if I push a button, it takes a second for it to react, versus 5G, I push a button, it takes a 1/100th of a second for that to happen. And so the difference in the generations are basically all these different things, but they come down to data capacity and also latency. So that's why you see people talk about self-driving cars and all this technology that is because your latency has gone down from tremendously, but also that capacity to pump all that data out has also increased. So your latency's down, data increases.
Now, it's incredible. And to my knowledge, we wouldn't be able to have the self-driving cars and everything that's coming through without 5G and increasing the capacity and the speed with all this is happening.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. All this is available and all technology is coming up. And if we, 6G is being tested already. So we're talking about another level in another 10 years or so. But it provides you all things that you're available to do, the connection points and the ability. That's what we're going into, a digital economy, a digital world. And we're so fixated on hardscape things, roads and bridges and all the things, which are important, but we're going to be in a digital world. That there's no turning back from it. We're too far down that road.
Yeah. So again, I'd love to just go on and on and on in kind of the history and the technology, because I'm kind of a nerd there, being an engineer. But Hugh, let's talk more about the real estate and what you do, what your company does, and what the opportunities out there. So, you mentioned working with, companies like Walmart, McDonald's, Disney. I even, from what I recall from your website, even like the United States Postal Service, Charlotte, Atlanta.
Authority, everything. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I mean, these are household names. So I'm a property owner. I'm a city. I'm a municipality. I call you. So help the audience understand what your company does for real estate owners and companies.
Well, we're usually contacted by two types of entities. I mean, what I mean by that, or two types of situations, I should say, all of entities, from individuals all the way up to the large companies. But it's either they've gotten contacted saying, hey, I'm AT&T, I'm Verizon, I'm whoever. I want to put something on your property. I want to put a cell tower out there. I want to put something on your rooftop, et cetera. That's situation one. Second thing is they have an existing sell side agreement. And they're looking and saying, hey, I don't think I'm getting fair value for this. I need to restructure this. And we're able to go back and list things and understand what the true value of the use or the utility is being generated from those leases or those sites. And really, it comes to you're leasing space, but really you're leasing utility. And you need to structure these like a utility agreement. So just to give you an example, over the last 5 years, our immediate increase in revenue for our clients with existing agreements has been over 300% immediate. Wow. Just because of the undervalued nature of these agreements. And so it's understanding that, not only the front end, when somebody's come out to you for a new agreement, how to structure that correctly and get full value today and going forward, but also if you have an existing agreement, if you have those, people from individuals to towns, cities, all the way to large corporations, because the thing about the industry is there are a lot of smart people out there on the property owner side. The problem is they're playing the wrong game and they're expecting to win, and they're never going to win because they just don't have the information, the background. And it's a look, the other side's game from the carriers and the cell tower companies spend tens of millions of dollars every year, if not more, to get things set up in a way that benefits them and not the property owners.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how it works, right? You have the big companies, they have all the information, they have the attorneys in house, then you've come outside. So who better to talk to than somebody that's played the game on the inside and now comes on the outside? So I guess, one of the big questions that is in my head hearing you say that is, do we need more space? Do we need more real estate? Do we need more locations for 5G? What's driving, some of these opportunities and some of these actions?
Well, it's twofold. The existing cell sites, there's about 500,000 existing cell sites out right now.
Okay. That's in the U.S., right?
In the U.S. And the majority of those need to be upgraded for 5G equipment. That's the first thing. And that provides opportunity of people who have existing cell site agreements to renegotiate based upon that upgrade to 5G. Provide some opportunities there because the value of the site goes up. The second thing is for 5G, you need one of the elements of 5G build out is densification. That means you have to have more cell sites. You have to densify the network. The only way you do that is build more cell sites. It's projected somewhere over the next 3 to 5 years, somewhere between 700,000 to 1 million new cell sites need to be built.
Wow. So you're talking in about addition, tripling, doubling yes, to tripling.
Double to triple, correct. Wow. You have to. That's the only way the network works, because you have to densify. You have to put a lot of cell sites out there a lot closer together, because the range for 5G is a lot narrower with regards to the transmission of that signal. You have to basically almost be on top of each other. So you're going to see a lot of build out. You're going to see initially a lot of build out in urban areas, because method to get a return on investment for the wireless carriers. And then you're going to kind of see out to the suburbs and the rural areas. So, but you're going to see opportunity for property owners, from, first of all, from the municipal level, because that's the easiest way to do it, build in existing right-of-ways or existing areas. And then you're going to see it trickle down to the private sector with regards to businesses, and then also down to individuals who own land as well.
All right. So we have a lot of investors that listen to the show. They own real estate, Hugh. Some are direct owners, a lot of business owners as well. Right. So if you're listening, what are some types of properties out there, whether it's private? So let's skip the municipalities. So private individuals, what are some optimal sites that you would look out for that you may say, hey, I have a site that maybe I should discuss this with you and see if it's viable?
Well, if you have an existing, I would tell nobody to go out and buy a property during a sell site on it. Just the odds are too long to do that. You're not going to do it. If you have an existing site, you can always determine, there's two ways to go about getting something on your property. It is a stretch. There's not, even with the build out of another, let's say, million sites, there's a lot of properties out there. First is, if a site is needed for the build out, the carrier will come to you and say, hey, we have a need. The second is, get in contact, and we provide a referral service to put property owners in contact with build out companies for towers and rooftop sites. So get your property on that list. If there's a need in that area, they're building out in the next 12 to 36 months, they have a connection point with the property owner who's open to it. And that kind of narrows the odds a little bit. So I wouldn't tell anybody to buy property for that, but it's a great way to generate ancillary or additional revenue. And based on a small amount of space and an area usually not being used for other purposes.
Can you give us an example of that?
If you're a commercial property owner, you own, let's say, an apartment buildings, office buildings, shopping centers, first of all, rooftop space. You know, if you have something over three stories tall, usually you're going to be available to possibly put something on your rooftop. Usually you're talking about square footage wise, somewhere between 80 to maybe 150 square feet total, sometimes less. If it's a commercial property cell tower or 5G tower, looking probably 500 square feet to 1,000 square feet of raw land, usually it can go in the back of the property and they just run utilities down the boundary lines to the street.
Interesting. You got my wheels turning here. So yeah, we got a lot of commercial office buildings in the portfolio here across the United States. So it makes me think about some stuff like that. So one of the things, as I did a little research here before, you mentioned that COVID, the pandemic last year, has really had a big impact on 5G and, you know, how that's going to change. And we're going to have this new normal. Share your thoughts on that and why that's the case.
Well, we already had dependency based upon services for internet services, for just wireless services. There's just a, you know, like I said, every day you're using your phone and you're using for different needs. When COVID hit, the dependency ramped up because now you're working out of your house. You have to employment opportunities. Those situations depend upon wireless services. So 5G provides that. Telehealth, let's say 18 months ago, telehealth was telehealth compared to now. Right. Now that's the big thing that people are going online to provide services for health services. Third is education. I mean, that's the big thing out there is that children are now being in-house and at their home online. So 5G, the spotlight just got emphasized because, again, going back to the thing we talked about earlier, is the data, your need capacity. And 5G provides that capacity. Right now, you just have an overload on the networks that are out there right now. There's so many areas across the country. So if you're in a I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. If you're in downtown Nashville in the area, immediate area, you're not going to have an issue. If you start going outside 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles outside, then you are at a different level of living your day-to-day life for health, employment, and education just because you don't have the services available to you compared to somebody just 10, 15 miles up the road. And so you have this, what we call a digital divide. So COVID has really emphasized, put a spotlight on that there is a have and have not society. With regards to wireless services and services.
Yeah, is there anything in the new infrastructure bill that the Biden administration put out to your knowledge that addresses that?
They put about $200 billion proposed to build out infrastructure for broadband. Now, broadband and 5G services, we think it should be geared more toward the 5G side. We believe it's not the right approach. Yeah, well, truly, because if your broadband provides you a level of services, but it's like putting a Band-Aid and say, well, this provides you the right amount of services today, but hold on, we're going to rely 3 years from now. It doesn't make any sense. You're just putting something in there that's going to be outdated by the time it gets in the ground. So that's number one. And so there are some other things. We believe the biggest solution for this is, and especially for small to mid-sized communities, is to build their wireless networks, to build their own cell tower networks, to have build those. It provides them control of that equipment up there, what's up there, the nature of the equipment. It also provides them the ability to lease back space to the carriers on those that infrastructure, the cell towers, et cetera. It provides a win-win, enables them to control the security of those networks as well. So we believe that's a better solution long-term. And hopefully, President, give me a call and I'll help him out with that.
I hope so too. But so just to help me understand and probably the audience as well. So I have internet running to my house. How does 5G speed compare to that?
Comparatively, if you had a 1 gig internet service at your house, which most people basically have, and if they're in an urban area, you're looking at when 5G is fully built out, you're probably 10 to 25 times faster, depending on where you are and the nature.
Faster?
Faster.
That's incredible.
Yeah, because you could think about it this way. You could not think of trying to run a self-driving, let's say you had a go-kart that was self-driving and you're in your backyard, run that off your system right now. You couldn't do it, right? Yeah. 5G, you could. So that's just, and it's not only, like I said, it's not only the speed, it's the latency. It's not only the data, it's the latency. That's the big thing. It's just how long it takes from push that button to action. And so that's how much faster that you get to. And so, and that's just projections of when 5G gets to normal capacity at the end of 5G, just like 4G now, a little bit, we think it's going to be double that capacity by the end you get through 5G cycle and to 6G. So
that's incredible. To me, when I hear this, I think it's a really big opportunity, right, for developing countries. Yeah, I remember reading the stories about Africa and how they kind of just skipped over the landline phase and went straight to cell phones. They didn't even get built out these landlines before they got to cell phones. And we have broadband. I was at Virginia Tech when we were the first campus in the country to have Ethernet. So, we were like the most wired small town in the country, if not the world at the time. So it seems like there's a real opportunity, like you said, for small cities that can use this and, they can attract entrepreneurs. And it is amazing. I've been in hotels and I just click off the Wi-Fi and it's faster running the 5G off the, building that I'm looking at next door. Pretty amazing. So, I think some people that are listening could kind of infer opportunities in the future. But Hugh, talk about the opportunities over the next decade for people that are looking at this space.
Well, I think the big thing is if you're talking about the wireless space, you're talking about, I believe we're infrastructure guys and we love infrastructure. And I tell people, are kind of like the road. People love talking about the actual train. I like talking about the track. So if you're looking at this from a space, from a general investment space, if you control cell sites on your side of the equation, you're controlling infrastructure and you're going to have a recurring revenue and things of that nature. From an investment side, just general investment side, we would tell people, invest as much money as you can in infrastructure. It is the backbone of our economy. It's the backbone of our society, I hate to say, going forward, because we are relying upon it more and more. Our advice is understand, if somebody comes to you, understand what their value they're getting, what you're offering them. Understand the value of this. Understand how you can maximize if you're a property owner, a company who has many properties or just a single property or your municipality. Understand the value of that. Data is comparable to the oil industry. The data industry is comparable to the oil industry of 100 years ago. People consume oil and gas products because we couldn't get enough of it. You drive forever, you do it. We are consuming data at such a rate, exponentially growing every year, year after year after year. If you can somehow get tied into the data industry and more particularly the infrastructure that provides that data, it's a great investment.
I love it. Any companies in particular we should be looking out for?
Well, I would tell you, people mostly look to the carriers. I tell people, look at the tower companies, the big American Tower, Crown Castle, SBA Communications. Those are the three largest. We compete directly against them in negotiations, but I would tell you we negotiate, but we disagree in negotiations. But if you're looking to invest, I would tell you those are the guys who invest in, because they're building railroads, and that's what you want to be invested in. Crown Castle, American Tower, and SBA Communications. American Tower's up 25 cents since March, just to let you know. And they're already up a pretty lot. So they're smart guys. Smart guys.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, like I said, Hugh, before the show, I was really excited to have you on and talk about this. It's just really neat to see how, you know, my generation that grew up on rotary dial phones, and then my four-year-old son, I'll never forget, he was four at the time. He picked up a telephone in a hotel room and he said, "Hey dad, what's this?" He'd never seen it. He'd only seen a cell phone. So, and that was the difference between, you know, 2 years, my older son and my younger son seeing that. So I always chuckle. I actually made him repeat it and took a video of it because I just thought it was so wild. And now, you know, they don't, you know, they know what Wi-Fi is, but, you know, now they get in the car and they're like, "Hey, I don't have Wi-Fi." And I'm like, "Actually, you're on the cell service now." And it's pretty wild to see that. So Hugh, you've really had a really interesting career in the telecommunications space during one of the most exciting times for this industry. If you could go back and give your 25-year-old self advice, what would it be?
Be more patient. Be patient. Understand. Listen more than you talk. You learn when you listen, then you apply it when you talk. But I think luckily I got to an industry that has had tremendous growth, and we're really good at what we do. And so that's a good combination. But I always tell anybody, be more patient, listen more than you talk, and you'll be a lot more successful.
I love it. That's what they say in sales. You got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You need to listen twice as much. And yeah, this podcast has definitely taught me to shut my mouth and listen to the experts. But I'll also say Simon Sinek has a great, great piece out there on YouTube. So if you're younger and you're listening, take Hugh's advice, be patient. And Simon Sinek has a great thing on there talking about patience and how these millennials get in the space. And like, I've been here and, you know, I haven't gotten a promotion. And he says, "Well, how long have you been there?" He's like, "They're like 4 months."
So
patience is key. So Hugh, you've shared a lot of really interesting stuff with the audience today. We appreciate your time. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Simplest way is go to our website, which is selltowerleaseexperts.com. Again, that's selltowerleaseexperts.com.
Wonderful. Hugh Odom, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, Chris here again. I hope you found this episode valuable. Now, I have one more thing to gift you. We have a page for my coaching clients where you can get a free copy of my book, as well as much more from previous guests on the show. Just check out nextlevelincome.com/coaching to get a free copy of my book, audiobook, and much more. I'll send you a copy of my book and cover all the shipping costs as a thank you for listening to the podcast. Also, please like, share, and take just 90 seconds to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts.